Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Our first case for this morning is United States against Toscano. Mr. O'Malley.
Please the court. Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Eugene O'Malley, and I represent the appellant, Roberto Toscano. My first point, Your Honors, would be that the district court committed a legal error by denying Mr. Toscano a mitigating role reduction. This one drug transaction was part of a broader trafficking operation and may be recognized as such in sentencing. In short, Mr. Toscano's offense of conviction should not be treated as an isolated act in which only he was involved, but rather one step in a broader criminal scheme that involved multiple participants. Toscano is eligible for a Section 3B1.2 reduction because he was substantially less culpable than the average participant.
So, Mr. O'Malley, what concrete evidence is there in this record that Mr. Toscano didn't know how much in the way of cocaine was going to be stored in his SUV? And essentially, what shows that his version is true?
Well, it wasn't contradicted at the district court.
Well, how was it? Did he testify? Did he submit a statement? How did he go about proving his version of what his role in the offense was?
He proffered with the U.S. Attorney's Office, and he was they found him to be truthful during the proffer.
But at the sentencing hearing, I didn't remember that there was testimony from him.
No, there was no testimony, but he did proffer with the U.S. Attorney's Office prior to the plea and the sentencing, and it wasn't contradicted at sentencing.
But he had the burden of proof. That's the problem for this. He needed to give the district court evidence to support this mitigating role that you wanted.
Well, it's true, Your Honor, that there was no testimony, but I simply can tell you there was no contradiction. That the government conceded that he did not know all of the co-conspirators except for one, meaning Mr. Victoria, one of the main drug traffickers in this case. And he only met all the co-conspirators the day of the arrest, except for Mr. Victoria.
But I take it that there's evidence to support the district court's fact-finding that Mr. Toscano knew that his SUV was going to be used to store drugs, and also that the next morning, or whenever it was later on, he helps in the process of unloading that car and moving the drugs over into the other vehicle. So that evidence is supported by the record.
That's true, Your Honor. It's also supported by the record that his arrangement with Mr. Victoria was to accept drugs, but he had no idea of the quantity until that morning when his vehicle was utilized for the storage, and the day of the arrest he became aware of the quantity. He had not agreed to such a large quantity.
Mr. O'Malley, you've described this as a legal error. It sounds to me like you're essentially arguing with the district court's fact findings, though. How is it a legal error here?
Well, the judge, the district court, looked at it primarily as the amount of drugs involved, whereas the 3B1.2 reduction allows for a mitigating role.
Right, it allows for it, but does it require it here? That's what you have to argue, right? And I'm looking for a legal error. I'll tell you, it seems pretty clear to me on this record that the district judge might have granted the downward adjustment, but why isn't this, in essence, within the district court's discretion in finding fact and applying the guidelines?
Well, I think the court erred in that it failed to recognize that this was a broad scheme where he was just a small cog.
Well, he was tagged only for the drugs that he was actually hands-on involved with, right?
That's true.
Now, that we know that doesn't necessarily prohibit the mitigating role. I think when I was a district judge, this court reminded me of that a time or two. But what required the district judge to grant the mitigating role adjustment in this case?
His exemplar, as the court indicated, it was impressed with Mr. Toscano's exemplary past. He had no criminal history. He raised a family. He had a great employment record. There was a sufficient mitigation in this case, exceptional mitigation, that I think required the court in the apply to 350, the mandate of 3553, indicating that trumps the sentencing guidelines, and that it's a two-pronged argument here: the minor role reduction we seek, and in addition to the unreasonable sentence because of the exemplary defendant, but for this criminal act.
Well, you're mixing the two issues, though. I was asking you what required the district judge to grant the mitigating role reduction.
I think my response, Your Honor, would be that he's required to look. I don't think the district court followed the law in concentrating on this isolated act. I think he's required to look at the broad scheme. And the amount of drugs involved here was what the district court concentrated on, and not the relationship of one isolated act of in short duration by Mr. Toscano.
Well, wasn't there also a problem in terms of the inconsistency when his lawyer, or when he said at sentencing, he didn't even know drugs were involved? That it was just he thought money was the issue, and then the lawyer talked about and focused on the amount of drugs, that was all that Toscano wasn't familiar with, that Toscano thought it would just be a small amount versus a large amount of drugs. And so, you know, the district court certainly seemed to focus on that. And that's a problem for you.
Yeah. Well, it is a problem, and it's hard to ignore. There's a considerable amount of drugs involved. However, I think in context, his involvement is less, certainly less than the suppliers, the sellers, the buyers, the transporters.
But it was a bit more than Mr. Calero.
Well,
according to the district judge, who thinks Calero just sits there in the
Mr. Right. Calero did get a minor role, and I don't think that a minor role should necessarily be just given to one co-conspirator. More than one person can be minor in nature.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I think the biggest problem, even if the district court had looked at the wider conspiracy at least more visibly than the district court did, maybe that was 1,000 kilos. We're talking about 80 kilos of cocaine here, which is an awful lot of cocaine by anybody's measure. Even if he was just moving it from his car. So I think the critical issue here is this credibility determination by the court. Did he really believe that Toscano had no idea it was going to be that much and just moved it, or did he believe that Toscano was aware of it? So it strikes me that almost gets down to a factual issue, not a legal issue. But if you'd like to save a minute for...
Excuse me, Your Honor?
If you'd like to save a minute for your rebuttal, that would be fine, or you can...
All right, fine. Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay, Mr. Kubiatowski.
May it please the Court. Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Steve Kubiatowski, representing the United States. This is a question of fact which is reviewed under a clear error standard, and the defendant has the burden of proving that he's entitled to a minor role reduction under the guidelines.
Would it be your position that if this broader conspiracy, and I'll just pull a number out of the air, had involved 2,000 kilos of cocaine, and Mr. Toscano only has this brief encounter with 80 of them, that he's automatically still disqualified for the minor role reduction?
That's not what we believe is the appropriate analysis for a minor role reduction, Your Honor. I think this court's precedent has made it clear that you evaluate his role, the defendant's role, in the charged conspiracy. And certainly, if you start elaborating into, you know, do we include the drug kingpins from Mexico that are responsible for growing and transporting the United States, by that definition, anyone would qualify for a minor role. And that's why this court circuit is very clear that you analyze a defendant's role within the realm of his own criminal conduct.
And yet when I do that, the cases that you rely on are all these stash house cases. And what Mr. Toscano does, according to the record, is one night he says, okay, you can put some cocaine in my car, in my SUV. He's not there when it happens, so we know that he's at least not observing it happen. And then the next morning, he's immediately getting it out of his possession. So it strikes me as it's a little different from the stash houses.
The district court relied on the Gonzalez case. In that case, that was a one deal transaction for 130 kilograms of cocaine. And in that instance,
the
defendant secured a warehouse by bribing some employees there and was just present at the deal. That's it. And in that court, in that case, this court upheld the denial of a minor role reduction. Here, the district court did not commit clear error in finding that, number one, he stored a large amount of cocaine at his residence that evening, and number two, that he assisted in unloading it the following day. Based on those facts, the government submits that the district court could not commit clear error on these
facts.
So
if he had not helped in unloading it, would you say that that would be a minor role? He would have been entitled to a minor role reduction?
I don't know, Your Honor, but I don't think so, because given the amount of cocaine involved, 80 kilograms of cocaine, the defendant had to realize when he received that shipment that this was a large amount of cocaine. It takes a lot of space to store 80 kilograms of cocaine. So simply storing it overnight, based on this court's precedent in Gonzalez, might be sufficient right in and of itself to permit the district court to reject minor role reduction. Obviously, it's a fact-based determination, and if you change the facts, the district court may have been swayed a different way. But in this case, given the amount of drugs involved, the amount of time he possessed it, namely overnight, where he possessed it, at his house, and the fact that he assisted in unloading it the following morning, those are all facts established in the record that the district court could rely on in reaching its finding.
On this record, would it have been an error for the district judge to grant the reduction?
It's a fact-based determination, Your Honor, and I could see where a district court could conclude that the minor role might apply under these facts. Now, obviously, he had to compare it to the other defendants in the case, but given this court's precedent, particularly the Gonzalez case, I believe that the district court reached a reasonable determination that mitigating role did not apply, and that's subject to clear error review, and we submit that it should be upheld. Unless there are any further questions, I'll yield the remainder of my time to the court. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anything further, Mr. O'Malley?
Toscano's case from the Gonzalez case. It was Mr. Chavez, the co-defendant of Gonzalez, who was refused a minor role because it was a warehouse. And as you recognize, Judge, there's a considerable difference between the understanding of a defendant having drugs stashed, actually procuring a warehouse, bribing people at the warehouse to be able to utilize that warehouse. And this defendant also was lying. He lied to the district court. His credibility was weakened. And there's considerable difference, once again, between a storing amount of being aware of how much cocaine is going to be involved when you allow someone to store in your vehicle as opposed to actually bribing warehousemen to use their warehouse knowing that drugs are going to be stashed there. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. The case will be taken under advisement.